It is an honor to be here. I've been the high school pastor here at Foothills for 7 years, but for 11 years before that, I worked as an event coordinator and as an intern in our youth ministry. And what's cool about being here and talking to our church is I committed my life to Jesus at this church in our high school ministry. Over 20 years ago, a neighbor in Santee where we lived invited my older brother to come to our youth group. He brought me along, and God used that to transform my life. I grew up, my mom was a believer and prayed for us and would take us to church, but my brother and I had fallen into rebellion and at a time where I was just disinterested in God. I wanted to do my own thing. I wanted to live for fun and the idea that I had about what it meant to be a teenager. And so that's what I pursued. I gave my mom a hard time for trying to get me to go to church. I didn't make it easy on her. And when I came here, God reminded me of so many of the seeds that I'd been planted when I was younger and used that to awaken in me a hunger for him. And I realized as I started coming here in high school that the things that I had been living for and pursuing, with drinking and drugs and partying and just wanting to be popular and all the things that I was pursuing, God showed me what I really wanted, what my soul craved was him. And again, it transformed my life. I started coming here and Mike Van Meter was the very first youth leader that I like met and got to know. And what's funny is I think about it, in my teenage brain back then, I thought Mike was this like older, like middle-aged man. And I did the math and I realized he was 25 when I met him. Like he was not an old man, but I was a teenager. I didn't know anything. And when I started coming, Neil Hoffman, who was our senior pastor, he was an intern in the high school ministry and helping to serve and reach youth as an intern. I think it's so cool that two of the guys that are helping to teach and shepherd and lead our church, they understand the value of youth ministry. And you might ask, well, why do children and youth have such high importance at Foothills? Why are you always talking about them? We know that they don't tithe, they're messy, they break stuff. Some of the younger guys can be smelly. If you're a parent, you know. Why do we give children and youth so much attention here? Why is that one of our biggest budget items at this church? We do Youth Weekend because we wanna help communicate that serving children and youth is part of our calling as a church. It's who we are. It's what we're about. Because we see throughout Scripture that God gives special concern to the raising up of children and youth. We see it in his design for families. He also demonstrated that to us as he shows us what he desires in his church. We have this example in Matthew chapter 21 of Jesus going to church. It's during the Passover in Jerusalem. Jesus enters the temple. There would have been all kinds of people from out of town there, would have been busy. Jesus entered the temple, and it says that he drove out all those who were buying and selling in the temple. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who were selling doves. And he said to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer,' but you are making it a robber's den." So we see this glimpse of the church, how it was. It was set up how the insiders wanted it. It was set up in a way that was easy and comfortable and frankly self-serving for many of them. Because the money changers and those selling animals, they knew, oh, people are gonna come, they're gonna need to pay the temple tax and they can only do it in a certain form of currency. We'll sell it to them, but we're gonna sell it to them for an exorbitant rate. Oh, people are gonna need to sacrifice animals, but they're gonna have to be spotless, unblemished animals. So let's have some pre-approved animals for them, but we're gonna sell them at an exalted, exorbitant rate. Oh yeah, we're gonna check people's animals that they bring, but it's gonna be easy to find fault with them. It's gonna be easy to be like, no, you know, that doesn't count. Here, buy one of our pre-approved ones so that they could profit from it. The people in the temple was about what they could get rather than how they could serve. Now, we get this glimpse of, okay, we see really clearly what Jesus doesn't like in his church. He doesn't like that it was about them and their comfort. It was about their selfish desires. It was a hindrance to people who genuinely wanted to come and worship God. But the following verses help us to understand what he wants in his church. In verse 14, it says, after he drove them out, the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he had done, and the children who were shouting in the temple, Hosanna to the Son of David, they became indignant. They were angry. Because Jesus brought people, he kicked people out, but more importantly, brought people in. The sick, the lame, and the youth. And it can be a temptation that can be easy for churches to fall into, to set it up how they want it, in a way that's easy, quiet, neat, convenient, a way that's just for those who are already initiated, the insiders, but make a place where maybe the lost and the hurting and the youth feel unwelcome. So God's heart was reflected not just at the indignation of those he put out, but by the love and the compassion extended to those that he brought in. We see this picture of children shouting in the temple. Well, if you have kids, it's no surprise to you, children are loud. If you walked near any of our like youth services where we have stuff going on, they're loud. And not only that, but they said to him, do you hear what these children are saying? And Jesus said to them, yes. Have you never read out of the mouth of infants and nursing babies you have prepared praise for yourself? They were shouting, Hosanna, Son of David, which is messianic language. What they're proclaiming is that those children, they understood who Jesus was in a way that lots of the adults around them didn't. And so Jesus' response is, yes, I hear them. Why are you surprised at this? I created them to know me. I designed them to be sensitive to me. And their praise, their shouting, Jesus says, I like it. You know, I have a 5-month-old baby. His name is Grayson. He's going to have to explain how to pronounce his last name for all of his life, just like me. And right now, he's this just like cute 5-month-old, squishy, smiley blob. He's adorable. But he's our first, my wife and I. So naturally, every week we're reading books and looking at, okay, what is he supposed to be doing now? What's the latest thing? Because if you're a parent or you've been around kids, you understand that there are these developmental windows where their brains just are able to do different stuff, learn different things. They grow in capacity. And in the same way that that's true, God has designed a window for spiritual development in children and youth. From 8 to 12 years old, there's this really cool thing that happens in kids' brains where they begin to be able to think abstractly. And they have not only a capacity to understand, but a desire to understand the world around them, to make sense of all of it, to appraise their surroundings. You see, children and youth are curious about Jesus. He built it into them. The Barna Research Group, which is this organization that's been around for over 4 decades, they've done millions of interviews, thousands of studies, all related to Christianity in America. Just last year, they did a survey of teenagers in America and found that 77% of all teens are at least somewhat interested in learning more about Jesus, which can be surprising sometimes given the ideas that we have about youth culture and where they're at. They're curious about Jesus. I have the privilege of helping out in a couple different public school campus Christian clubs, one at West Hills, another one at Granite Hills, and I've been at different schools over the years. And every year, without fail, we have students who come, a majority of them unchurched, who don't know Jesus, who come to these clubs because they're curious. They stay sometimes afterwards after we give messages and ask questions. And they want to know, well, you know, why did God do this? And what about this? And how can I understand this? I see firsthand they're curious. The research group and all their surveys over all these decades have found that children begin forming their worldview, the lens through which they see and make sense of all the world and their surroundings. They begin forming that between 15 and 18 months of age, and by the age of 13, it's almost entirely formed. And for a majority of people, their research shows it's unlikely to change much beyond that point. And so that window of spiritual development that God has created is a crucial and important time for young people. They describe this group, after all their research, they describe childhood and adolescence as a time of filling a spiritual vacuum. They're hungry. They're curious to know Jesus. And it's a shame that they can be so hungry to know the truth, but can be so easily overlooked and neglected, even by the church and by ministries who only focus on adults. Because sometimes it seems like adults are, you know, a quick payoff. Like they can contribute. They have influence. They tithe. However, 3/4 of all believers, of all adult Christians, give their lives to Jesus before they're 18. And so we can be tempted to focus so much of our energy and resources on 1/4 of people who will give their lives to Jesus after that, when a vast majority of them are hungry and seeking while they're young. In Matthew chapter 18, Jesus helps illustrate this. His disciples come to him in verse 1 and they say, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And so Jesus called a child over to himself and he set him before them and he said, "Truly I say to you, unless you are converted and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever then humbles himself as this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." So Jesus acknowledges to them, "I have created young people to know me, to be open to me, to have unique faith and receptiveness to my kingdom." And he makes this point to them, which is also a point for us, which is rather than force them to become like you, you need to learn from them. Because I have made them receptive to and sensitive to me. And he also says this, following that up in verse 5. He says, "And whoever receives one such child in my name receives me." You know, before I came up here, we're singing worship songs to God and honoring him. And I know, you know, this is a church that loves Jesus. And I think, you know, it's interesting that there's nothing that I can directly do for Jesus. I can't buy him a present. I can't make him food. But I can love his kids. I can serve them. Because he says, "Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me." And so he makes this point that whatever you do for them, whatever you're doing to serve children and youth, I count it like you're doing it for me. And if you're a parent, you know that the best way to love a parent is to love their kids and to serve them. There's nothing that a parent appreciates more. And I think the disciples didn't fully grasp this lesson that Jesus was trying to teach them, because shortly after that, in Matthew chapter 19, starting with verse 13, "Then some children were brought to him," to Jesus, "so that he might lay hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, 'Let the children alone. Don't hinder them from coming to me, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these.'" Now, I know the disciples, in their actions, I think they thought they were protecting Jesus' interests. They know Jesus is important. This is a big, popular ministry. And so they tried to send the children away. You know, his ministry is a big deal. And these children who were being brought to him, they couldn't offer anything. They had no influence. They wouldn't provide anything for the ministry. And Jesus makes this point to them. He says, "Let the children alone. Don't hinder them from coming to me. The kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." He wanted them to understand that relationship with him comes more easily to children and youth because they embrace faith. They're sensitive to his presence and they're primed to know Jesus. If you go to this church, and it's important that you know, we don't, between our kids ministry, junior high school ministry, we don't do babysitting ministry. When kids come, at whatever age they come and are involved in this church, they're gonna hear the word of God. They're gonna learn the truth of who he is. They're gonna be given experiences, to time to worship him, to engage with God, to understand his reality. We don't talk down to them because we know God has created a desire, a hunger in them to know him. And we see it time and time again at the things that we do and the events we have, even the way that we just plan our weekly meetings. We devote a decent chunk of time to getting into the Word of God with our kids, with our youth. We give ample time for them to worship and engage with God themselves, and they do. As a matter of fact, every year our graduating seniors from our high school ministry, we do a survey and we ask them, hey, you know, what are the things that you really liked about our ministry? What stood out? What was the best? What are things that maybe we can change? Every year, without fail, for as long as I've been around, for as long as we've done these surveys, the number one answer every single year about high school students' favorite part of our ministry is worship. We take them to Six Flags, we do beach trips and camps and events that are mind-blowingly fun. The number one answer every year about what they like most about our ministry is worship. Jesus told his disciples, don't hinder them from coming to me. And I want to tell you this, we want to be a church that not only doesn't hinder young people coming to Jesus, we want to help facilitate it. We want to help make that happen. I want to say, if you have not read it, our founding pastor, Mark Hoffman, wrote a book called The Joshua Principle. And this book is about the importance of raising up the next generation. It is a guiding principle of our church. Better than I could describe it in our time here, this book goes in depth in why it's important to God. And also sometimes as a parent, practically it's like, all right, but how do I do that? You know, maybe I don't understand my teen. We're struggling. If you're a parent, this book is gonna bless you to understand what God has called you to. It's gonna help you to better understand your teen and how to serve and how to lead them to get to know Jesus. And so, again, if you have not read this book, I cannot recommend it highly enough to you. This is also gonna help you understand the DNA of our church, why we do what we do. And so it's so important to us. We don't try to make any money off of this book. We want as many people to read it as possible. So we just sell it at our cost. Costs us $5 per book. So we're gonna have them out in the lobby after this for $5. And it's so important to us that we know and understand these things, that you guys, especially parents, know and understand this. That if you don't have $5, we want you to just come get it. Because it's vital, it's critical, it's important to understand. And so again, that table is gonna be out in the lobby after we're done here. I mentioned God put spiritual hunger and curiosity in the hearts of young people. And the enemy also knows that and wants to capitalize on that. He knows this is a critical time. And so our world tries to sow corruption, knowing how critical that time is. And it's a shame that sometimes, you know, even we as the people of God could undervalue and underestimate them when the world recognizes the power and the influence that is in raising up the next generation, which is why marketing agencies and porn companies and social media conglomerates and musicians and movie producers, academic leaders and institutions, it's why they direct so much money and so much energy and resources to impacting and reaching young people. Because they know if we can influence them, then we can influence the culture. We can influence the future of the world. And we see evidence of our culture targeting children and youth all around us. Suicide rates, depression and anxiety have skyrocketed among young people. Social media targets them and addicts them and negatively affects their mental health in pretty much every way that we can measure. More and more people, younger and younger, are addicted to pornography, confused about their identity, about who they are, about why they're here and what their life is about. And James 1:27 says that pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their distress. And the world is adept at creating spiritual orphans through the brokenness in families, the brokenness in our society. But God says this, he says, a pure expression of devotion to me is to visit them. Not just to sit back and wait for them to come to you. He says to show a pure expression of devotion to me, it's to visit them in their distress. And they're distressed. And so it's not enough to just have classes for our kids here. The church is not meant to just be a club of believers, insiders, you know, who get together and high-five each other and pat ourselves in the back. We are meant to go out, to be the church. We had a series all last month about us being the church in the wild, that to be the church means that we are furthering the kingdom of God. We are taking the gospel beyond the walls of this building. And the DNA of our church is to accomplish this thing. You know, we have a bus ministry that goes out every weekend, driving to different apartment complexes to pick up kids and families and to bring them here so that they can know Jesus. We have school clubs on elementary school campuses, middle school campuses, high school campuses, all around public schools in East County to visit them where they're at, because we know they might not show up here, but we can go there. We have Youth Venture Teen Centers that are just around different areas of East County that are a place where teens can come and be safe and belong and have people who love them and show them kindness, a place where they have something to do with people that are gonna help them to get to know Jesus. Our junior high ministry and our high school ministry operate the same way. But this mission, this calling that God's given us, we can't do it alone. Just our staff can't accomplish the calling that God's called us to as a church. And since youth are of such great importance to God, they must be important to us. They must. Not just through our words, but through our actions. Because young people are gonna be won or lost based on how the Christians around them see them and serve them. And I think we understand God's heart is to bring them into his family. 1 Timothy 3:15 describes the church as the household of God. So he wants to bring them into the family and use this spiritual family to teach them and to shape them, to direct their lives and their values. And I want to make a point that there is, for you, for us, there is tremendous blessing and joy and fulfillment to be found when you dedicate yourself to raising up biological and spiritual sons and daughters. Some of life's greatest joys and meaning will come when you dedicate yourself to that pursuit. And if you're a parent or grandparent, I know that some of you guys already know that. Some of you guys who've been doing youth ministry for a while, you do it because you know that and you found that to be true. But recognize if you're a parent, and I'm a parent, you know, a five-month-old, and I know the weight of this responsibility. It is the greatest responsibility of my life and should be of highest priority to help the son that I'm raising up and whatever other kids I have to know Jesus, to know what they were created for. And I think, you know, in this church, and I've been honored to be here for so many years and see some of the ways that God's moved and what he's done. And he's done some tremendous things. There are incredible things that we've been able to accomplish. As a church, we have Future Quest coming up, you know, in the not too distant future. It's our 3-day summer youth conference. And every year we have over 2,000 people who take over our campus. And it is our conference focusing on youth, all 7th through 12th graders. We've accomplished some tremendous things. And our church is in this cool, exciting time of transition. It's been just a little over a year since Pastor Neil took over as the senior pastor of Foothills, and we're still here, so good job, Neil. Kudos to you. But it's also been this exciting time where we have a record number of visitors and newer families, and the church is growing, and we have families that were here for a while that for different reasons have moved. And I just think, man, what will the future hold for this church? We know that God has called us to reach children and youth, and I want to tell you, it's not like, oh, well, we met the quota, we're done. All right, we did it. We started a teen center. We had a Bible club. All right, what's next? That is God's calling for this church. As long as this church is here, we are going to be pursuing answering that call. And I just think, again, what is the future going to hold for this church in answering that calling? And it's going to depend on this body to see that need, to answer that call, to recognize this divine opportunity that God's given us, and to be willing to stand in the gap. That might just mean standing in the gap through prayer and intercession. It might mean standing in the gap, tithing and giving. I mentioned, well, the biggest part of our budget is going to serve children and youth. It might be with volunteering, sharing wisdom and experience. I'm going to tell you right now, we need new help at our clubs. There are clubs that we could not run this year because we just don't have volunteers. We have kids who are hungry. We have youth who are distressed, and we can't visit them because we don't have enough help to do it. We have teen centers that right now are not going to be scheduled to be open as much as we would like them to be open because we don't have enough volunteers to be there to visit them in their distress. We need help in our Sunday school classes with big events like Future Quest that I mentioned in VBS, which starting next month, you guys are gonna be hearing a lot more about Future Quest as we begin recruiting volunteers. I hope you remember this message next month when we're talking about Future Quest. But God has so much more. And if you are a part of this church, recognize that you are meant to contribute to that calling. And if that sounds daunting, I want to reassure you, you don't need to be specially qualified. You just need to be willing. You just need to love Jesus and to be willing to love his kids. I am only here because people loved me. And I want to just make very clear, I came in as a stubborn and rebellious youth. I did not fit in with anybody when I showed up. It was very clear in my face and my attitude that, you know, you could have read that and been like, this kid does not want to be here. He's not interested in Jesus. Yet, ordinary people loved me and reached out to me and helped me to get to know Jesus. My first mentor was a college-age young guy at this church, not particularly gifted or wise, just someone who loved Jesus and who let me tag along while he did certain ministry stuff that he did. And I watched him do ministry and I was like, this is really exciting. Like you get to help other people get to know Jesus. And so he invited me to tag along, and that's why I wanted to become an intern after I graduated high school. I joined a small group, and the small group leader was an older dad, had a family, had a business. I know he couldn't devote all kinds of time to youth ministry, but one evening a week, he led a small group of me and some high school guys and helped us to get to know Jesus and gave us a picture of what it looked like to lead a family. This is why we have Youth Takeover Weekend. I mentioned this is our church's calling. And I want you to pray and to think about what would it look like for me to contribute to that calling, knowing I don't need to be specially qualified. I don't need to have any special or different or extra resources. But how can I, using what God's given me, what I have, how can I contribute to that? And there are plenty of people in this church who have done that in all kinds of ways. Again, not just committed to, okay, I'm doing this every week, but looking at what I have, how can I serve? And so if you guys walk through our hallways any Sunday morning, you'll probably recognize it always smells like food in here. It's because we have a couple, the Carozes, and a team who make breakfast for our bus kids who come every single Sunday. We have moms over the years who make food and bring food to our Youth Venture Teen Center so that the students who come can just have a home-cooked meal that a lot of them aren't getting at home. Danny Green, a member of this church, he's like, hey, I have a truck and I have a trailer. How can I help you? Every one of our youth camps, Danny comes to pick up our students' luggage and take it to and from our camps, which you might not realize, but is one of our biggest logistical problems for camps. And he's like, here's what I have, here's how I can use it, and blesses and serves our youth. We have all kinds of people in this church, like Jennifer Lindsley, who pulls together nurses and teams to help with events like Future Quest and camps. She makes sure our first aid kits are stocked and ready for youth. If you've been around kids for any length of time, you know we end up needing those at different points. And so different nurses in our church are like, hey, you know, I don't have a normal schedule, but you have an event and you have need, cool, here's what I can offer. I can offer my expertise and my resources here. A family in this church, the Schaefers, they live up in Alpine and have a piece of property up there. And they're like, hey, here's what we have, and it's available to you. I cannot tell you how many events we have done up there. Anything that you could think of, we've done up at the Schaefers' house. Because they're like, hey, here's what we have. We want to make this available to the church to use. And a countless number of students have been blessed by people just like them saying, here's what I can offer, and how can you use it? How can God use it? I mentioned FutureQuest and VBS. These are our big events that take over our whole campus, and we need people to be security guards, people who are just willing to keep an eye on things and walk around our campus and be a friendly face. We need people who can build stuff, people who can grill hamburgers and hot dogs, people who can decorate. Literally anybody can help and contribute to these things. It just means being willing. I will say this though, if you can help regularly, we do have needs. The ministries that we do, they run on volunteers who say, hey, I'm willing to stand in the gap. I'm willing to be there, to be consistent, to be relational. Some kids don't have that anywhere else in their life. And so when I'm done, I mentioned that table with books out in the lobby. Next to that, there's gonna be a table for anyone who wants to get more information about our children's and youth ministries. You can sign up, and what that means is that we're gonna follow up and give you more information, let you ask questions. All of these different forms of ministry all have different nights of the week that they meet, different levels of involvement. No matter what your schedule is, there is some way that you can get plugged in. There is some way that you can contribute to God's calling on this church. And so again, come out to that table. If you have questions, we'd love to talk with you. We'll have kids ministry representatives out there, our youth venture teen centers, our junior high ministry, our high school ministry. Romans 10:14 says, how can they call on him they don't believe in? How can they believe without hearing? And how can they hear without someone telling them? We have all kinds of youth that we want to visit who need Jesus, who are hungry for him, but somebody needs to tell him. Somebody needs to go. Somebody needs to show him. And I'm grateful. It's humbling to stand here and to speak to our church, because I came to this church 20 years ago as a rough, around the edges, broken youth. And this church loved me and welcomed me and help raise me. And I can't imagine, it blows my mind, it still does, because it feels like it was yesterday that I was that kid. And to look at what God has done and how God has transformed my life, I could have never imagined. And it's not just me. We look around our church and we see so many stories like that. You know, even in our senior staff, David Matrenga, who oversees our young adult ministry and our higher ground clubs, David got saved in our higher ground clubs. He was one of those youth that we visited, and God transformed his life, and he's been overseeing that ministry. Bryce Stacy, who oversees our youth venture teen centers, Bryce came through youth venture. God raised him up and has equipped him to now serve in the same area where he was served. Parker Kiefer and Matt Graham, who are up here leading worship, I met both of them when they were in junior high, coming through our junior high ministry. Parker is now an intern in the junior high ministry and helps lead worship at this church. Matt is one of the key worship leaders at this church. I just think, man, what other stories are there out there? What other people haven't we reached? Because we've seen some amazing things and we've heard some amazing testimonies. But I know that God's not done. You know, what will this church look like years from now? Who else could be standing up on the stage leading worship or sharing the word of God or leading ministries at this church, ministries that maybe we haven't even thought of yet? How else will God expand his kingdom as we answer his call to raise up children and youth? It's gonna take people who are willing, and it's gonna take the Spirit of God to fill us and to equip us, which, thankfully, he is glad to do. He knows that we need him to accomplish these things. And so I'd like to pray for a few different groups this morning. First, I'd like to pray for parents. And so if you are a parent of a 12th grader or younger in this room, I'd like to ask you to stand up. Just for a moment, parents, if you could stand up. If you're a parent of a senior in high school or younger, because God has given you guys a special role, a unique task and responsibility. And he knows that you're gonna need his help. And so I want to pray for you in the raising up of your kids. I want to pray that God would equip you and fill you. And I'm going to ask the rest of the church to maybe just extend a hand to one of the parents that are around you. And as I pray a blessing over them, Lord, we thank you for these parents. Thank you, God, that you have entrusted us with an incredible privilege and responsibility to raise up your kids. And I pray, God, that you would anoint us, that we would have your favor, that you would give us the strength and the energy that you know we need. Give these parents, Lord, wisdom to navigate the situations and the circumstances that they're going to find themselves in. But I pray that that burden, Lord, the responsibility that you've given them, they would recognize how weighty that is, what a privilege and an honor it is, and that they would understand, Lord, that it is their greatest responsibility. So fill them with faith and joy and hope, knowing, God, that you will be their help in accomplishing that. Bless them, Lord. In your name, amen. I'd like to pray for another group this morning. I mentioned, you know, the things that this church has done and what we've been able to accomplish in reaching children and youth. It's because of the church. It's because of you guys answering that call. And so I'd like to pray for all of our children and youth workers. If you work in any capacity with children or youth, would you guys stand up for me? Yeah. I want to pray for you guys in the role and the responsibility that God's given you. Pray for anointing and refreshing and vision. And if I could ask the rest of the church, if you could just extend a hand to one of those that are standing as we pray for them. Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for these who have stepped in and thought about how can I answer that call and are contributing their time and energy and resources regularly to that end. God, I pray that you would allow them to sense your joy at them loving your kids, to know that your heart is pleased with them. I pray that you would give them fresh vision, Lord, that you would make them supernaturally effective at doing what you've called them to do. I pray that they would leave here, Lord, full of faith and excitement at the calling that you've given them and the things that you're going to continue to do in and through them. In your name, amen. And lastly, I'd like to pray for, I mentioned, you know, this is youth takeover, junior hires and high schoolers. We kept you guys in here. We want to pray for you guys. And so to anybody who is a senior in high school or younger, I'm going to ask you guys to stand up because we as a church, we love you guys. We want to serve you guys. We want to bless you. And again, I want to pray a blessing over you guys. And I'm asked, again, church, let's extend a hand to these children and youth and pray for them. Lord, thank you for these. Thank you, God, for the unique, Lord, developmental window that you've put in them to be hungry for you, to be sensitive to you, to know you. And we pray, Lord, in this season that they would be protected and blessed, Lord, that you would lead them towards yourself. I pray, God, that they would sense your presence. Even right now as I pray, Holy Spirit, I pray that they would understand your love for them, God. They would understand that you see them and you know them, that you are with them. And I pray, God, that you would help them to walk in confidence in the identity that you've given them, in your purpose for their life. Lord, we bless every good thing that you want to do in their lives. Lead them. Lord, we thank you because they're going to be the next generation. We pray use them, God, to accomplish your purposes. Fill them, Jesus. In your name, amen.